Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Colossians 2 and verse number 8. I want to read a couple of verses of scripture here. We'll start at verse number 6, read down through verse number 9. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. Are you there? Bible says this, as ye, that's you, talking to believers, have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So just like you have received him by faith, walk in him by faith, rooted and built up in him. Don't you like the sound of that? You don't like things that are regressing or dying, but we want to be growing, built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding, abundant, flowing out. And then verse 8, let's read it together. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is that saying? Jesus Christ is fully God. And he's fully man. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, the Trinity, bodily. And so we're thankful for that. But he tells us, I want you to beware. You've received Jesus Christ. You're supposed to walk in Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be grounded in his word. You're supposed to be established in the faith. But I want you to be aware about something. That's the subject of tonight's message. And really, this matter of contributing in the body. Contributing in the body. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. And for your love for us, you told us that you are good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. So help us, Lord, to run into you as into a strong tower. Lord, help us to function as a church family as you designed us to function. Help us to be wonderful, effective, servants-oriented members of this body. And I pray that you'd strengthen us to do so. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I want to deal with something, and really tonight's more of a burden and probably a little bit less of a message, but we'll see how that goes. I very rarely come to nights like this. I typically have it all mapped out in my mind, but there's just been something that's been on my heart that I want to share with you, and I've been chewing on it, and not literally, but just kind of meditating on it and thinking about it, and I may ask for your help along the way, but I want to talk to you tonight about this matter of contributing or consuming. Let's think for a moment about consumerism or a consumer. A consumer is a person that simply, we understand, would go into a store and would purchase that which they want. They would just pick up what they desire. They would be pretty selective. One of the things that we noticed down in Grenada and other places is they don't have as many options as we do, right? There's fewer options. There's one brand of peanut butter instead of 47, right? And so here in America, we are constantly faced with different options for the same product, for the same thing, different options. There's different waters. There's not just any spring water. There's multiple different spring waters, and there's flavored waters, all these different things to buy. Wikipedia says this, and I very rarely cite them, but I do think that sometimes it gives a little pulse of where the country thinks. It's a social and economic order that encourages the acquisition of goods, the buying or the attaining of goods and services in an ever-increasing amount. And that's very important to see there. Consumerism, there's no end of consumerism. There's always the next big thing. That's what Samsung, that's what the iPhone, they've always tried to capitalize on the next big thing, the next big launch, something to get a consumer's eye and their heart wrapped around a device or product to buy in ever-increasing amounts. Merriam-Webster said this of consumerism: it's the theory that that an increasing consumption of good is economically desirable. A preoccupation with and an inclination toward the buying of consumer goods. We understand that, but really what I want you to catch is this next statement: the promotion of the consumer's interest. The promotion of the consumer's interest. Stores, businesses, companies this week, they want your dollars. And they want you to take and give your hard-earned dollars in return for what they're trying to sell you. Whether that's a good product, whether that's a product they just try to make good enough to get you to buy it and not a quality point more. I was talking to a local restaurant owner. He says, you know what? It's so hard to get people in the door and make sales, but what they're doing in order to achieve it is they're reducing the quality of the food. We used to never freeze it, but now it's frozen and it's coming in, and he was lamenting at how the quality of food was going with their national chain. And it's amazing how we live in a society that is full of consumerism all around us. You're affected by consumerism every single day of your life. Where you shop for groceries, where you buy a car, what brand of car you drive. Some of you would be very, very particular about the brand of car that you drive. Why? You have been urged, you've been bought, you've been encouraged to be loyal to a certain brand, consumer interest in all being very important, the gas stations you fill up at, how that place makes you feel. If you're Mr. Morris, Betry, you've studied what that particular gas station puts in your tank, and you know it, and you shop at certain ones, right? You do still shop at certain ones and not others. He's a very knowledgeable consumer. The rest of us go off their ads. Well, that sounds pretty good. Or what's the cheapest? The coffee brand you brew. It's amazing how our mindsets are towards products. Boy, this is the only product I buy. This is the only coffee I brew because, you know, it either is an advertising, or some of us, it's what's cheapest. But some are like, nope, I only brew this certain type of type of coffee. All of this is affected by consumerism, by them seeking to gain your interest in their product, them trying to sell it to you. In fact, the deodorant you buy, you're affected by consumerism. There's certain types that you like and certain types you don't, and it's all they're marketing to you. We live in a day you can't watch even online streaming without advertisements, and now the advertisements are even more clever because they know where you've been on the internet. They know what you stalled at on Facebook. They know what you talked about in your conversations. And they're giving ads. Isn't it amazing how that all of a sudden ads will start popping up on social media for the very things that you've been talking about? Just saying that all around us, we are affected by this mindset or this philosophy of consumerism that is all focused on the consumer's interest. How do I get the consumer to release their hard-earned dollars and purchase the product that we have? Walmart has 10,593 stores. They make, in revenue last year, $611 billion. They spent in advertising $3.1 billion. It's amazing how that on their shelves, not just in their stores, they have multitudes, not just one product, but many products to choose from. They're seeking to get your consumer interest. And even as stores work, they're constantly seeking, how can we gain the interest of the consumer? How can we speak to them? How can we make them feel good here? How can we make them shop here? How can we make them get in the door? I am a Panera Coffee subscriber. I enjoy Panera Coffee. Do you know what that's all about? Getting me inside the door so that I not only get an unlimited amount of coffee throughout a month for a price, it's to get me in there, and I feel bad for picking up that a cup of coffee, and so I also will purchase a bagel or whatever. That's what they're banking on. Gain the interest. All around us, every single day, we are bombarded with consumerism. You say, I didn't come to talk about this tonight. We'll get to a point here really soon. I want us to realize that we're affected, and stores all around us are trying to gain your interest. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I do want us to realize that it is something that we live in constantly. And it's also something that dominates the way that we think about our interactions. Chances are, if I told you where I shop for groceries, you might shop at a different place, and you might have very, very particular reasons why. Because they've gained your interest. They've spoken to you, they've either sold to you, and there's one reason we shop there and another reason you shop there, but it's all around our personal preferences and interests, is it not? Right? It's not based around necessarily a common truth or just a baseline truth. It's you prefer there, I prefer where I shop. You prefer your Starbucks, I prefer my Panera, right? So it's based on consumer interest and so on. So I hope I'm making some points here. You think about Amazon. Everyone goes to Amazon, or I shouldn't say everyone, but let's just do a little poll in here. How many people shop on Amazon? Maybe 50%, maybe a little bit more than 50%. Like, Amazon ships 1.6 million packages a day. Isn't that crazy? They sell itself over 12 million products. When you expand it out to the other third-party sellers on there, 353 million, all trying to get your interest when you're on there. Who can be at the top of the list so they can get you to buy their product? Right? So we're faced with this all around us. And here's what I want us to realize, that in a consumeristic society that is focused on the consumer's interest, we have bought well into this mindset that all that matters is the interest of the consumer. Now, I want to zoom out for a little bit and talk about another ism, and that's humanism. Humanism. Humanism is the idolatry of self. If you go to humanism, AmericanHumanism.org or their website, they will say, their tagline is, good without God. Good without God. It is your preferences, your self-effort, it's your way to God. You don't need God. You don't need truth. All you need is you. You're your own God. It's the idolatry of self. The outflow of humanism is self-centeredness. It is a self-centered society. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, in the last days perilous times shall come. And you know what the very next thing is? It says as a descriptor of the society, and men shall be, help me, lovers of their own selves. Do we not live in that day? We live in a day that is completely focused on self. And friends, that goes back to this matter of humanism. We have elevated humanity. We've elevated the creature. We've elevated the creation over the creator. We've elevated my preferences, my wants, my interests over what God desires, over his purpose for my life. And friends, we can allow that humanism, that philosophy, to creep into our lives as well. The other outflow of that is consumerism really works well in a humanistic society that's all focused on what do you want? How do we make you feel good? How do we speak to you? Friends, the outflow of this in church life looks like a church going into a city and putting out a poll and asking the community, what do you want in the church? You say, has that happened? Yeah, it happened, and it failed. It failed. It was Willow Creek of Chicago, Pastor Bill Hybels, who came back and says, we did a really good job at attracting a crowd, but we didn't make disciples. We didn't make disciples. And maybe we need to go back to the Bible and see how we ought to do it. After he had led for many years what is called the seeker-sensitive movement, what it did is it preyed on the consumerism that we saw all around us as a philosophy in society, and it adapted it right into the church of the living God. Rather than declaring truth, thus saith the Lord, and standing with the Lord, and not caving to the interests of society and the interests of a community, but simply seeking to declare the truth and call people to follow after Jesus Christ. Jesus did not go into Capernaum and say, well, what would you like? What would you like my church to be? What would you like my message to be like? No, he didn't craft his message to fit the felt needs of the community. He crafted his message to change their hearts, to give them truth that would set them free indeed. And so we live in a very humanistic society that's very self-centered, but all around us is this idea that we must play to the consumer's interest. Now, Colossians tells us that we are to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Do you know that all around us, almost like a teabag, we are being steeped in the thought processes of society as we listen to the news, as we hear conversations at work. We're being steeped in the thought processes of society all around us. And we must be very diligent not to allow the philosophies that are in the world to creep into our thinking. And why that is so important is there is much humanism that has creeped inside the church of the living God when we make church all about me, not about Jesus Christ. When we idolize my preferences, my desires, my consumer interests, and not Jesus. When you base a church based on the consumer interest of the community, not saying you don't meet the needs that are in front of you, but the consumer interest, the feeling that we want, do you realize that makes it all about the consumer and not about the Christ that the church is supposed to be meeting around, the church is supposed to be guided by? And I want us to realize that Paul tells the Colossian believers, don't let those philosophies spoil you. Don't let them take control of your mind. Don't let them loot you, is the word. Loot you. And what's amazing as we look back, and we have the advantage of looking back over history, and I've already mentioned the seeker-sensitive movement, I want us to understand that we can see that it absolutely, the mindset of humanism, the mindset of consumerism, or the seeker-sensitive movement, what is everyone else? We'll make a church play to their felt needs or to their consumer interests. Just like they're going and buying an item at Walmart, we'll make it so they can select a church according to their individual interests. Even now, you go into churches and you can go this way at this time for a certain style service and this way at another time for another style service. That's consumerism. And why that is a problem is it doesn't say, this is where God wants us to stand, and here's the truth, and here's where we're going to just stand. Friends, Jesus was not playing to a consumeristic culture. He's saying, ye shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Not your felt needs, but the truth. Not making you, well, if it feels good, follow after it. Follow your heart. All these things that we hear in this humanistic age in which we live. And so Jesus tells us through Paul, don't allow these philosophies, and there's many of them in our world, to take control of you. Don't let them loot your Christianity. Don't let them spoil you. Don't let them manipulate you. I want us to realize a little bit before we go further, we need to think about two things. We have two real individuals that have a purpose for your life, Satan and Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Why don't you turn there with me? John 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says here, John 10 and verse number 10, you've heard it before. I'm going to have you read it out loud with me. John 10 and verse number 10, and I want you to raise your voices and read it with me. John 10 and verse number 10. Are you there? All right, let's read together. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Here's two things I want us to know. First of all, Satan takes. Satan consumes. That is his MO. He is constantly seeking to rob. He's constantly seeking to drain life. He's constantly seeking to lead people to a place of hopelessness and get them to end their life. He's saying, hey, if you just get high, it'll be really great for you. You'll be able to forget your sorrows. If you just get drunk, you'll be able to forget your sorrows. If you just have this relationship, it'll solve everything. And he's constantly seeking to take life from us. And he loves it when he can get a person to end their life or to do things that would end their life. would take life away from them. One man said, Satan promises the best but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and he pays with death. That's Satan. He's constantly consuming. He's constantly seeking to take from us. If there's ever a consumer, Satan is exactly that. He's a taker. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. One man said that Satan is a serial killer, a mass serial killer, and that's exactly what he is. He loves to take people to hell with him, and if you are saved, he loves to rob you of the potential of your life. Just keep on seeking after whatever makes you happy. It's all about you. It's your interests that you need to elevate, not God's, not the Bible's. It's your interests. If it doesn't make you feel good, don't do it. If it's not convenient, don't follow after it. That's Satan. That's what he tries to do. Satan takes. But Jesus gives. You notice there in the verse, it says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, that they might have it more fully, in a satisfying way, that it would flow out, even as is our theme this year. Mark 10:45 says, For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now think about that. Multiple times over the course of the Gospels, we find that it is said of Jesus that he is constantly giving, that he is giving out, that he is giving his life, that he's serving, that he is washing feet. We constantly find Jesus in this mode of giving, not taking, but giving. Think about that. Can you think about some other verses in Scripture where Jesus is giving? Can you think about some other verses? Help me out here tonight. Jesus giving his of himself for us. All right, well, you're thinking, I want you to think, there's many of them. Think about the Gospels, okay? I want you to think about Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a, what? A servant. Not a taker. One who serves. One who gives of himself. A servant. And made himself was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient unto the death of the cross. What did he do there at the cross? He gave himself. He gave. Now, can anyone think of some other verses of Scripture where illustrations where Jesus is giving of himself? So he washed his disciples' feet. Think about some of the miracles. Wow, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah. Yes. Can you imagine being there? Like, he could have been served. He was pretty tired. A lot of those, remember one of those times, they were exhausted. They're like, send these people away. And yet he gave. He gave. 3:16. Say it, brother.
For God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes, he did save virtue. Yeah. He gave healing, yes. That's good. Yeah. Time. Yeah. Time. Yes, sir. Yes. Giving life again. Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay. Others, these are really great. Yes. Yes, turning the water into wine there at the wedding.
Amen. Yes. Constantly giving truth. Amen. Others?
I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. All of those things are true about him. All right, so here's what we can all conclude. Can you think of a time where Jesus was taking? Now, I don't want you just to say that because you feel like you were being led there. Huh. Foxes have holes. The Son of Man hath nowhere to pillow his head. Any ideas? Yeah. But even there, he didn't even bow to what was a very human craving for food when it was put out in front of him. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Amen. That is true. He did take our sins away. Praise the Lord. That one he can take. All right, so here's my point tonight, that Satan, the stark contrast between Satan and Jesus is Satan is a taker. And listen, do you realize that even as we spoke a little this morning, the society in which we live, they're not interested in you. Most businesses are not truly interested in your health and well-being. That's why you have to look down through that list and make sure they're not putting poison inside of your food. Right? That might be a little bit of an extreme statement, but I'm just saying, you have to look down through there. Is this actually good for me? What they're saying is okay for me. Years ago, our doctor said, hey, you have some symptoms of using canola oil. And he says, that is one step away from motor oil. Like, it's just a little bit purified motor oil. And you know what? I stopped using it, and it was pretty amazing. I stopped having those symptoms. And my wife did too. You're going to go home and look at your cupboard and see if you're using canola oil. But nonetheless, we live in a society that constantly wants to give to you. They want you to buy their product, and it's not about you. It is about them. Takers. Not every single, you can find some businesses out there that truly want to help and truly want to be to better society. But overall, we have this mindset of consumerism that wants to play to your felt needs, want to play to your interest, and they want to advertise enough to get you to give up your money and get their product. So Jesus is one who gives, Satan takes. Here's where we really want to start applying this. And what's been on my heart is, as his body, as members of a church, which is a called out assembly from the world to Jesus Christ, we are under him as our head. We've talked a lot on Sunday nights about the fact that we are a body. We are part of his earthly representation here on earth. We are his body. He intends to advance his causes in the earth through the local church, through his believers, through people just like you and me. And the reality is, we must give, not take. We must give like Jesus Christ. We must not be consumers, but we must be contributors. We must give like Jesus Christ. And we find in Ephesians 4 and verse number 16, right after Jesus says, I want in the church, in the context of the church, the truth to be spoken in love, that you might grow up into him in all things, right? Even the listening to truth is not for our own, not just for our own benefit, but that we might grow up into him in all things. And then verse number 16, Ephesians 4, he says in verse number 16, let me catch my spot, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, notice that, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint takes. Help me out here. What's the word? Supplieth. Supplieth. You're a joint tonight, right? You're a part. You have a part of this body. You might be a foot. You might be a hand, you might be an eyeball, you might be a part of the brain, whatever, you're a part of this body. He's used that illustration for us to help us to be able to understand, wrap our brain around what is this thing called the church. It's a body. It's a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, and he deserves all preeminence, and we must always say yes, sir, to him. What happens when your foot doesn't say yes, sir, to your brain? What happens when your foot's asleep? You know, this whole function going on, right? So we must always say yes, sir, to him. He is the head, but we're part of the body. And he says it is fitly joined together, and it's compacted by which every joint supplies what it gives, not takes, what it gives. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, so as we're allowing God to work in our hearts effectively, we're able to give, and it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It makes increase. It edifies the body. It strengthens the body as we give, not take. What most Americans come to church to do is to take. What can I consume? What program will meet my need? What group is there? What age group is there? Is it my style? Does it fit my preferences? Do I like the way I feel in there? Now, some of those things are okay and fine in their proper place, but the reality is most people are shopping for a church like they're shopping for some product off a store shelf. Why? Because we live in a consumeristic age. We live in an age that is constantly seeking to lure your consumer interest in. And God says, no, as a part of the church, friends, as a group of people, we are to be supplying, not taking. So literally what we look for in a place, if God moves you into another city, my encouragement is to you to go find a church and say, one of the first questions is, how could I serve here? How can I contribute here? Obviously, we want to know that the doctrine's right. We want to know that we believe the Bible and that the Bible is a sole authority. But beyond that fundamental requirement in a church, we must see, how can I serve? How can I be a part? Not what can I get out of it, but what can I give to it? What can I give to it? What can I contribute? So he talks about by which every joint supplieth. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Liberty in Jesus Christ. Freedom in Jesus Christ. Freedom to serve him. Freedom to do what is right. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Serve one another. What is that? It's not taking, it's giving. It's not consuming, it's contributing. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can you think of some other verses that speak to you and I as believers to be givers, not takers? Can you think of some other verses? I'm going to ask you in just a moment. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, give into hospitality. Give into hospitality. How can I serve you? How can I refresh you? Think about those Zidonians there that Paul went to off the ship. Just this morning in the book of Acts, they refreshed him. What were they about? Giving, contributing. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 25, the disciples were bickering. Do you remember this? They were bickering. They were bickering about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember? And they're like, well, I want to sit next to Jesus. And they're getting their mom to ask these questions to who can sit next to Jesus and so on. And do you remember what Jesus said? But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that have great, they that are great exercise great authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant, minister. He does not say, be the one who they serve. No, be the one that ministers. And then he says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So literally one of the most important things that we can ask about inside of the body, inside of this local church is, how can I serve you? That's why that on the front of our adventure camp shirts that our volunteers will wear, is this question: how can I help you? Because I'm not here to be served. I'm not here to run my own agenda. I'm here to benefit you. No matter your age, I'm here to benefit you. That question is strategically put there. It's strategically put there to put it in your mind that this is the reason I'm here. I'm here to help. How can I help you? Is it to show you where the bathroom is? Is it to show you where the next rally is? Is it to go get a Band-Aid? How can I help you? Can you think of some other areas where we are told as believers to be givers, not takers? Amen. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What's that? Prefer one another and honor preferring one another. Some of you are thinking, if I just wait pastor out, he'll move on. I'm not moving on. This is class time tonight. Okay, I'm not. Amen. But yes, there's the other side of it. Be a giver. Both are to the weaknesses. Husbands struggle in loving like Christ. Wives might struggle in the respect unconditionally. And so he says both to our needs. All right, what else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Where we're told to give, we're told to serve. Think of some examples. Who are some examples in Scripture?
Obey your parents.
Okay. I'm looking specifically for where he tells us to give. Not with those words, but our attitude. Yes, yes. So we're supposed to give obedience to him, total allegiance to him. Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 6. That's very good. So the deacons are there to serve. Yes, back in the booth. Okay, what does it say? So if you just say, God bless you, I see your need, but you don't actually help the need that you see, he's speaking against that. Yes? Amen. Yeah. Amen.
1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen. So you have a gift, use it for the Lord in the context of the body, through the body. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And also with Barnabas, right around that, he's called the son, they nicknamed him the son of consolation, the encourager. So he not only gave physically of his wherewithal, he gave encouragement, encouraging words. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, and her selflessness there, what a difficult decision for her. Very difficult. Any others? These are good. Yes. Okay. Taking your time, using it for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The best gift. All right, so are we getting the idea? So Jesus was a giver. We're to be a constant giver, and that is to characterize our assemblies. That's to characterize our church. And friends, that's a powerful thing. If every one of us walk into these assemblies, not church isn't the building, right? It's us. If we walk into these assemblies and we're willing to give of ourselves, not coming here to consume something, but to give. Now, in the process of that, you and I get our hearts full, don't we? There's a satisfaction that only Jesus can give in that. So when we prioritize what I can get, we often don't really get it. But when we prioritize what we can give, we often get both. It's very true. And you've experienced that in your life. I want you to consider Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. Jesus tells us, some believe it was Paul as the human penman, he tells us to consider one another. Anna, that takes time, just like you mentioned, to consider one another and to provoke one another unto good works. We're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know that sometimes, do you always feel like coming to church? Okay. I love your very honest answers. All right. Do you ever feel tired? Yeah. The reality is, even in our coming to church, there is a giving to each other. It's not just about you. Well, I don't feel up to it today. It's not just about you. Your presence encourages somebody. Do you believe that? It really does. When you're gone, you're missed. Legitimately. I told Brother Steve this morning, who had that torn, I talked to Brother Grubb this afternoon, they're missed. Yeah, we miss them when they're not here. We miss you when you're not here. And so he tells us to consider, to look, to take time, to invest, to give attention to. We're to do that all the more as we see the day approaching, all the way till Jesus Christ comes back. We're to give of ourselves. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So consumerism, let me give you some thoughts that have come to my mind. Maybe you have some others. But consumerism has taught us to go to church rather than be a part of a church. Just go get your needs met rather than be a part, a functioning part of a church. You go to the store, you don't try to sign up on Kroger's work team. You don't help them sort the lettuce over there. You don't pick the bad apples. You know what I'm saying? Some people go to church like they go shopping. Get in and get out as quick as possible before they're asked to do anything. See, consumerism has taught us simply to go to church rather than be a part of church. Do you see that? And it's important that we see that this philosophy has creeped into us. It's all around us. We're a part of this society. Consumerism has taught us all that church is all about our needs rather than you meeting someone else's need. Consumerism makes the member preeminent rather than Jesus Christ being preeminent. You, when you walk into a store and they say, and you get the sense that it's all about the owner, you probably won't shop there very long. Why? Because, no, the customer's always right. Right? Don't we hear that statement? But when we come into church, it's not about you. You and I are not always right. Jesus is. And it definitely is about him. Consumerism causes us to, as believers, to elevate ourselves and our preferences over the person of Jesus Christ. Consumerism has taught us that convenience is more important than commitment. Consumerism has taught us that church revolves around us, not us revolving around Jesus Christ. And it has taught us, it has made church just another product we buy rather than a body we belong to. And it's important that we grab a hold. We have the potential of being spoiled or looted by the society around us. I'm not saying that stores should stop trying to please you. I am saying don't take that philosophy and bring it into church life. Do we all agree on that? Am I way out in left field? Jesus calls us as a body to contribute and not consume. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. When Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, he immediately began telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem to get served at the feast? No, to die. I'm going to give my life there. They're going to take my life. They're going to put me on the cross. I'm going to be killed. And the third day, I'm going to rise again. And so he says that. And you know what Peter did? He'd make a great American who does not want to sacrifice self. He says, be it not so, Lord. You don't want to go to Jerusalem. You don't want to die. You don't want to give up your life. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God. Well, that's pretty strong. Why? Because literally the way that the church was going to advance was through Jesus giving his life, not being served. The way the church would be built was it had to be this way. Jesus had to give his life in order for us to have the assembly of the saints together. And so what did he say there? And I've asked you to turn to verse number 21. From that time forth, he showed his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and be killed, be raised again the third day. Peter took him, began to rebuke him. Think about that, rebuking the Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, let's read it together. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. All of that, friends, is giving, not consuming. All of that is me giving my life, giving up my life to God and to others, not taking. You and I need to follow the model of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always giving, always giving. He gave us the gift of salvation. Consumer makes it all about them. They insist on their own way. Or, you know what? I'm out. I got to have it my way. I got to have my preferences met. Consumer is interested in the programs they can enjoy rather than the people they can serve. Friends, this is fundamental to the health of our church. We cannot allow the philosophies of this world to loot our Christianity and loot what Jesus has designed for the church. When a baby is born, we understand that the baby has needs, and it's all about the baby right now, right? It's all about the baby. Make sure the baby, make sure baby Sam gets how many bottles a day? A lot, all right? It's all about him. That's what it is. We expect it to be so. Chloe has a duty as a mom to care for the needs of little Sam. That's understandable. But if Sam was 16 and still taking bottles that way by mom, there's a problem. It's still consuming. Everything's dependent on mom and is not beginning to serve the family and help Andy mow the grass and help him in the garage. There's a problem. Right? It's immaturity that keeps a person as a consumer. It's immaturity that keeps us as believers as a consumer and not a contributor. And you and I need to look, because we're conditioned by the society around us, to say, you know, it's all right. Everything revolves around me. And society will applaud you on. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, Jesus says, no, it's not about you. It's about me. And it's about you serving others with me and through me and by my help. So some of this has gotten going in my mind from a visit with Jack Grubb in the hospital. And if you've kind of followed his scenario, and I told him I was going to share him as an illustration tonight, if you've kind of followed his scenario, he went through a time where he's just winded. You see him out here, winded, maybe his color didn't look so great. I just can't catch my breath, I don't have strength, I can't walk here. I went and visited him at his house, and he's saying, Pastor, I'm just, as long as I'm here, I'm fine, but once I get up, I can't even walk over there without losing my breath. And doctors didn't have an answer, and he has had all these tests, and finally he had to go into the hospital, and they start running tests, and they find out that Brother Grubb had colon cancer. He's in the hospital getting units of blood. They don't know where his blood is going. What's going on? Why are you losing blood? Oh, that's why you can't breathe, because you need oxygen from your blood supply and you're having to get all this blood. What's going on? Well, they find out he has colon cancer, and the doctor's words were along this line, that cancer in his colon was consuming, was eating his blood. Now, that's not probably the right medical way of saying it, but I talked to Miss Jessie a little bit today. There's probably a lot more medical science to that. Maybe if you're a nurse, you say, well, that's not how. But the idea was, it was taking the blood and it was freely wasting the blood, draining him of life and strength. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. Draining him of life and strength. Do you realize that every part of your body is intended to contribute something to your functioning? Your mouth, though it eats, is intended to gain nourishment, to provide you strength to continue on. Your hands are a part of your functioning. Can you think of a part of your body that is supposed to take? Your body is supposed to function and give and contribute and be a part. If your thumb, you know, wants to bug off and just, you know, go do its own thing, it's a problem. Every part of our body is supposed to supply something, just like Jesus said in Ephesians 4 and verse number 16. It's supposed to supply something. Friends, if there's consuming happening by a body part, it's either diseased, it's been infected by a virus, or it's been compromised, it's been hurt. Either way, some healing and help needs to get there. I'm not saying it needs to be extracted. I'm just saying some care needs to be provided there. Friends, when either one of us begin to consume from the body, when we get this taker mindset that I have to have all of my needs met rather than the needs that I can meet, it's a problem. There's something wrong in our hearts. There's a philosophy that we've gained, that we've adopted, that we've let into our thinking that's going to hurt us. And friends, if your life revolves around getting all of your needs met in the church context, you will always be disappointed. Until you learn to serve and to give like Jesus Christ did, to contribute like he did, you will always be disappointed. So I don't want to serve in the church. You know, people might say that. I don't want to get that involved. Listen, that is where you're going to find satisfaction. That is where you're going to find Jesus saying, well done, thou good and faithful taker, servant. Do you see how easy it is for the mindset of the world around us to leak in? I hope I've communicated that. Let's ask the Lord before we leave tonight. Let's ask the Lord, help me to be a contributor, not a consumer. And every time we come into these doors, into this place, may we long to contribute something into the body, not consume something from. And in our contributing, we'll find the blessing of being filled and satisfied. Would you bow with me tonight? And would you pray with me about that this evening? I'm thankful that you came, and I hope this has blessed your heart. Certainly the Lord, I think, is going to continue to develop this in our minds and our hearts, but this is something that we as a church need to be very serious about. Every part of the body, every part of Christ's church needs to contribute to the success of the body. Perhaps tonight in your heart you find some insecurity, perhaps some sin that you've let in, perhaps some other just struggles that you're needing to deal with that have caused you to become a consumer. You come in looking for everyone to validate you, to encourage your insecurities, and you're hampered from being a contributor. Would you find a place to pray in just a moment tonight Say, Lord, I want to be a contributor. I want to be someone who serves like you. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. You know what? The Lord will give you ample supply, ample ability, abundant water from your belly to be able to encourage and satisfy others. Let's pray together. Father, would you guide us? Would you help cement some of these thoughts and these truths in our heart tonight? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Stand with me and let's find places to pray across the auditorium. You can come to the altar and pray together. Lord, I want to be a contributor, not a consumer. Let's spend time praying together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.